going to study this morning our lesson entitled, Buy the Truth and Sell It Not. Buy the truth. How are we going to buy it? What do we have to give in exchange for? You know, when you buy something, you have to exchange something, whether it's time, money, other goods, services, whatever it might be. There has to be something given in exchange to buy something. So what are we going to use to buy the truth and sell it not? Scripture from Proverbs 23:23 that was read, buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. So the truth isn't the only thing we need to buy. We also need to buy some wisdom to know how to use that truth. And some instruction or some teaching. And some understanding. To understand what that truth means. It doesn't do any good to be able to quote word for word every verse in the Bible if we don't understand any of it. Now, I know enough about the Greek letters of the alphabet and the sounds that they make that I can look at a Greek document written in the Greek language that I've studied, and I can pronounce those words. Now, I may not get them exactly right. It might sound horrible to somebody who actually speaks Greek, but I can make those letters sound, but it wouldn't mean a thing. There's no meaning whatsoever to me in reading those Greek sounds. Now, there are a few words that I actually know, the words in the scriptures, and I actually recognize some of those words, and those would mean something to me. But just to be able to take the letters and pronounce those letters together to make words and even sentences, if they didn't have any meaning, if there was no understanding, what good would it do? And it's the same way with the Bible. If we can say the word, but if they don't have any meaning to us, then they don't do us any good. The proverb writer, Solomon, says, buy the truth, buy wisdom, buy instruction, buy understanding. And let me tell you, we couldn't afford it if we had to pay for it with cash money. None of us could. Fortunately, we don't have to pay for it in that way. Matthew 13:14-46. Jesus says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found it, he hideth it, and for joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. I guess whoever owned that field didn't know what a great treasure there was hidden in that field, or they wouldn't have parted with it so cheaply. But he goes and sells everything to buy that field. Again, then in verse 45, he says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Now we notice in this second case that this man was seeking these pearls. In the first case, the fellow just found it. Now I guess if he found it, maybe he was looking for it, or maybe he just accidentally stumbled across it. Some of you may have felt that way with the truth about the church and about the gospel. Maybe you just stumbled across it. Maybe somebody else came to you and brought it to you. You didn't know before. But then others were seeking and looking and trying to find the truth in religious matters. And finally, were able to come to the truth, to actually find it. So both of these two parables that Jesus tells describe the different ways in which people come to the kingdom of God, different ways they find it. Some just accidentally discover it. And I hate to use that word accidentally because there are no accidents with God. But God knew that they needed it, that they were sincere, and that they wanted it, but maybe they didn't know where to look, and so someone brought it to them and taught them the truth about the kingdom of God. And others knew it was out there and started searching. Found. But whatever the case may be, when they found that and bought it, in this case you're talking about treasures and pearls, things that can be bought with money, but when they bought it, do you think they quickly sold it? Do you think they gave it up? No, once they had found the truth, they held on to it. there are far too many in our world today who get hold of the truth, but then they let it go. They don't hang on. They don't keep holding on to that truth. They don't do the second part of that. They bought the truth, but then they just sell it. They don't keep it. Yesterday, we were at an auction. Don and I were at an auction. It's been a long time since I've been to an auction. It's interesting to see the way things go at an auction. Most of the things that they had to auction off were junk that I can't imagine why anybody would want. But there were a lot of people there that wanted some of those things. Some of them because they were old and they thought, you know, they'd have some value just because they were old. Some of them, I guess, maybe they thought that really ugly stuff was pretty, you know, some cake or different. But they were, you know, bidding on it and buying it. And some of those, you know, they get into a bidding war. There's one old milk jug that went for $75, I think, a milk jug. Meanwhile, there was a nice piano that went for only $70. Well, how did they place those values on those? I mean, you surely know. You buy a new piano, a couple $1,000s for a new piano. And how did that nice piano that was in good working order go as cheap as a rusty old milk jug? A rusty old metal can? Well, see, people place value on things in different ways. And sometimes, we place our values on the wrong thing. In the religious world, we need to put our value on the truth. Let's look at three things about the truth that we need to find. First, let's learn the need for truth. You know, whenever we buy something, we should ask, do I need it? Do I need it? Now, there are different levels of need. There's food. I need food. But my body can survive on certain kinds of foods that don't taste good. But I like to have the foods that taste better. I like certain brands or certain kinds of food. But the vitamins and minerals that I need may be in some that I can get cheaper. And I may buy more expensive than I need to. And we'll get to that about the cost and the value in just a moment. But do I need it? And there's other things where I may need it to some degree to fit into society. You know, soap and toothpaste and things like that. Now, you can live without it. But nobody's going to want to live around you without it. Now, you can live. You wouldn't die if you didn't have toothpaste. Now, your teeth might rot out, fall out, you wouldn't have any teeth. But you wouldn't die. Now, see, but we generally say, well, we need that. And the level goes on and on up. You know, do I need a refrigerator to keep my food in, to keep it from spoiling? And those kinds of things. And a lot of times we determine how much we need something. I need this item more than I need this one. And since I don't have the money to get both, I'm going to get this one because I need it more. We make those kinds of judgments. Sometimes we make the wrong judgment. We buy the thing we don't need as much, and then we wind up charging the other one on our credit card, and that's how we wind up in a lot of debt. But we have to make judgments about that. That's why the wisdom and the understanding is so important that Solomon talks about. But what about the truth? Do I need it? I mean, does it really matter? Isn't your truth just as good as my truth? And you know, it just doesn't matter. You think what you want to think, and I'll think what I want. Doesn't matter, does it? Well, Jesus seems to think that it did. In John 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. That sounds like something we need. He didn't say you can just know any old thing and it'll make you free. He said the truth. He didn't say a truth, as though there were many different truths out there that were available. He said the truth. One truth. that we can know, that we can gain from His Word, and that will make us free. Now, do we need to be free? Well, now, you know, we can say, well, you know, people can live. They can survive in prison. Or they can survive in slavery. They can live. But what about the slavery sin that we're trapped in? Can we live in that? Well, yeah, we can live this life in that trap of sin, enslaved to that sin. We can. But what's going to happen at the end of time? When we go to judgment, then will we be able to continue to live? We'll exist. We'll exist for all eternity. But will we live? We can't live eternally without the truth. We can't be set free from our sin without the truth. That means that it's something we need. We need it more than we need food, water, or even air. That's why Solomon says, buy it and don't sell it. He, in other words, says, don't trade the truth for the air you breathe. Don't trade the truth for the water you need to survive. Don't even trade it for the food that you can't live without. Because those things are all physical, but the truth is spiritual things. It brings spiritual blessings here and in the world to come. And that's what's most important. So we need the truth. Well, what's the cost? Because I don't know about you, but I don't have a whole lot of money. I've got a nickel and a penny, 6 cents. Can I buy the truth for 6 cents? Well, you know what the good news is? I can buy it without 6 cents. I don't need it for me to be able to buy the truth. And that's a wonderful thing, because there are a lot of folks in this world who don't have a penny. But the truth is still available. It's still for sale. Now, when we buy something, we look at the cost of the truth. When we buy something, we find out the cost, don't we? You ever been surprised by something? You thought maybe it was $3 or $4, and you got up to the cash register with it, and it was $20. Huh? Oh, didn't know it was that much, but that. Put it back. I don't want it if it's that much. We are all the time. So they have prices on the shelf, price stickers on the item, prices on the tag. Everywhere we go, we see prices. You know, billboards. You know, get your happy deal for $2.49, or you know, buy a car from us with no money down. And everywhere we look, it's all about how much it's going to cost, isn't it? And sometimes we think that if it's for sale, on sale, boy, it must be a good deal, because it doesn't cost as much as it usually does. And they see, retail price, such as a, no, put a red line through it, cross that out, and then mark it down $5. This is what you pay. Ooh, wow, saving $5. Now, it may not be worth half the price they've got written on there, but we think we're saving $5. That's got to be great. So this doesn't cost as much as they said it should. Find out the cost. What is the cost of the truth? In Luke 14, there were some people who had been following Jesus around a little bit, and they decided they wanted to make a habit of it. They wanted to really turn to Jesus. And so in verse 25, it says, there were great multitudes with him, and he turned and he said unto them, if any man come to me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty interesting. In other words, I've got to come before everybody else in your life, including yourself. I've got to come first. That's what Jesus said. If anybody else comes before me, then can't follow me, you can't be my disciple. And then notice what he says in the following verse. Verse 27, he says, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He said, it's not easy. there's a cross there. And I'm not talking about a little gold cross that goes on a chain or one that you can stick in your pocket or something. He's talking about a big, heavy, solid wooden cross that you got to drag around every day. So you pick that cross up. He goes on to say, "For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? Lest happily after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish." And how many people do we know who've done that in the church? Well, they started. How about that in class a little bit this morning? They said, "I'm going to repent of my sins. And I confess Jesus is Lord. He's the Son of God." And then they were baptized. And then they had to count it. Oh, this is a poor gift. How many of us struggle with that? We struggle with the cost of being a Christian. Not the monetary cost, but the physical, spiritual and emotional cost of being a Christian, of finding the truth. He goes on to say, "What king going to make war against another king sits not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassador and desireth condition to meet. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, cannot be my disciple." Ready to forsake it? Everything that you thought was dear, Paul said, "Those things which in which I did glory, now I count them as dross." The word the King James Version. Sometimes it's translated dung. But we get the idea that he decided that those things thought were valuable now are worthless. They are garbage. They're refuse. They're rubbish. Rubbish. They're worthless in comparison with the truth. It's expensive. Luke 9:57-62. Somebody came and said, "I'll follow you." Jesus said, "Foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head." He was asking this guy, "Can you count how much it's going to cost? Are you ready to make the payment?" "I don't have anywhere to sleep at night." Another said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first suffer me to go and bury my father." Jesus said, "Let the dead bury the dead. You go and preach the kingdom of God." I don't think Jesus meant that we shouldn't go to funerals. He went to a couple himself. But the idea that he had there is, you know what? Probably when this guy said, "Let me first go and bury my father," his father probably wasn't even dead yet. He was probably saying, "Let me, you know, just wait until my father's died, and then I'll be free to come follow you." And Jesus said, "You know what? If you're going to follow me, you follow me now. Don't wait until other things." We talked about that a little bit. "Well, wait until I get my life straightened out. Or I'm going to wait until I get married. Or I'm going to wait until I have kids. Or I'm going to wait until this certain situation. Or until I have this. Or I do that." Jesus says, "Follow me now." It's expensive. The cost must be given immediately. Right now you pay. Don't wait. There's none of this no payments for 12 months kind of plan that Jesus gets now or never. Now, a lot of things, most of the time, somebody trying to call you up on the phone and sell you something, and they want a commitment right then. Most of the time, when they want a commitment right then, it's some sort of a scam. They're going to try to steal your money. But it's not the case with Jesus. He wants you to have the blessing right away. Wait. Another said, "Lord, I'll follow thee, but first, let me go and bid them farewell which are at my home, at my house." Jesus said to him, "No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." Remember Lot's wife? She looked back. many times are we tempted to look back to that former life? He said, you better count the cost beforehand. If you're ready to make the commitment, make the commitment, and don't look back. And when he says don't look back, it doesn't mean that we don't remember those things in the past. We do. Certainly we want to reach out to those people who are friends and relatives and those things from that past life to bring them to where we are. But it means we don't look back with nostalgia. We don't look back with feelings of remorse over what we're missing out on because we chose this course. So you make that decision before you start. No regrets. But what about the value of the truth? When we buy something, we need to know if it's worth what we pay. We do that all the time. We comparison shop. Well, this one says it's this, and this one says it's that. Just the science fair at school this past weekend, and they had a popcorn experiment that went on with that. Which brand of popcorn pops best? And they had four different brands there, and all the way from the most expensive to the cheapest. And they said, okay, they had popped all of them, and they counted how many of the kernels didn't pop to see which one was the best value for your money. And you know what they found out in their study? The one that popped the most wasn't the best. I found the same thing out with light bulbs. I bought three different brands of light bulbs, put them all in the socket at the same time, so they'd all be on or off at the same time. And the one that was the cheapest lasted twice as long as the most expensive one. Sometimes we're fooled by a name brand or something like that, and the value's just not really there. We think it is. What about the value of the truth? Is it worth it? Because if we're going to count the cost, we're going to have to know if our need for it is there. And we know now how much it costs. It's going to cost us everything. Is it worth it? John 17:17, Jesus in his prayer to the Father says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The truth is able to set us apart from the world. We saw earlier that the truth is able to make us free. Freedom. What is freedom worth? People will sacrifice everything, even their life, for freedom. We need to understand just how valuable the truth is. Everything is a small price to pay for what God offers us in the truth. No wonder Solomon said, buy it and don't sell it, because you can never get what it's worth. You trade your life for it. I'll sell out the truth if it'll save my life. You lost in that bargain. You sold the wrong thing. You should have been willing to sell your life for the truth. How many times do people sell the truth for fame or fortune or popularity, glory, honor, a prestigious name, all these kinds of things? People will sell the truth for that. Solomon says, buy it and don't sell it. Now what does that mean? Don't sell it. Does that mean you shouldn't tell anybody else about the truth that we've discovered? That's the way some of us that. I got the truth, and I'm going to keep it to myself. The old saying, keep the faith, but don't keep it to yourself, kind of applies here. We buy the truth, but the truth is too valuable to sell. Instead, we need to share it. We don't give it away so that we don't have it, but we share it so that everyone can have it. What a wonderful once you've got it, hold on to it. The blind man in John chapter 9 didn't know much when he started out. He knew that some man named Jesus had healed him. That's all he knew. But boy, he held on to what he knew the truth to be. And the Pharisees threatened him. They mocked him. They questioned him. They even called his parents in. But he held on to what he knew the truth was. Jesus made me able to see again. He even went so far as to say, I think he must be a prophet. And boy, they mocked him then. And he was bold enough that he kind of let them have it a little bit. He said, well, you know, you're really amazing. He said, in the whole time the world's been around, it's never even been heard of that somebody who was born blind could be made to see. But that happened to me, and you don't know about this guy? You better find out about him. He started teaching other people about Jesus with what he knew. And of course, they mocked him for that. And then they came and questioned him again, and he said, well, why are you asking all these questions? Do you want to be his disciple? Boy, they really got mad then. We're Moses' disciples. But they kept pushing him. But he kept hanging on to what he knows. He said, this one thing I know. I was blind, but now I see. He said, you can't take that away. See, that's the way it is with the truth. When you have the truth, it can't be taken away. The value of the truth, unlike those items at the auction that we were at, does not fluctuate. Folks, that metal milk can, I imagine when that thing was made, it probably sold for 5 or 10 cents. It was old, a long time ago. Maybe that'd be worth $75 today. I don't know. But it sold for what wasn't really even a whole lot of money back then. Maybe it may have sold for 10 or 2. I don't know. But its value changed. It went up. Now, some things do that. Their value goes up over time because people find those things more valuable. Other things, like a car, it depreciates. Well, you buy a car and new car, oh, pay $20,000 for this brand new car, and you drive it off the lot, and it's only worth $16,000. If you turned right around at the corner and came right back and tried to trade it in, they said, I would give you about $16,000 for that car. Well, I've only driven it a mile. Well, that's the way some things are. They go down in value. The truth has a constant value. It is always the same. It does not fluctuate based on fact. You know, all of us can remember when we were younger, maybe when we were kids, there were certain things that got popular for a while. And boy, everybody wanted one. And kids would trade anything for it. They'd pay outrageous sums of money for it. And then a few weeks or a few months or maybe years would pass, and that thing became. Nobody wanted them. You couldn't give them away. Whatever it might have been. There have been so many fads, you know, we couldn't even begin to list them all, but everybody had to have one, and then a little while later, nobody wanted one. That was old news, and there was something new that everybody's got to have this one now. And that's the way a lot of things work in this world. Popularity and fads. And what everybody wants, and they'll pay big money for it. But the truth stays. God demands the same price for it, no matter what. It never goes on sale. You're not going to find it marked down at a closeout sale. It's the same all the time. You're never going to find it at an auction like we were at yesterday, where you can bid on it and get it at a bargain. Somebody bought a brand new grill, nice grill, probably cost $150 in the store, but it was brand new. Somebody got it for, I think it was for about $50. Brand new. You would have to pay $150 in the store for a grill like that. And this other thing, you know, that probably were more valuable for their usefulness than for the condition they were in. They weren't in real good condition, but they were still useful. Some of those things went for $1 or $2. Some things that were bought new for a good bit of money went for practically nothing. A whole box full of baskets. I know some of y'all like baskets and legs and use them. gift in, and all of a sudden, whole box of them went for about $3. Dozens of them. They would have, each one of them probably cost $4 or $5, too, maybe more than that. And they weren't matched. Oh, this value thing. That we think, oh, it's not worth that. It's not worth this, it's not worth that. The truth is worth it. Its value is so far beyond the value of any material possession that we could ever have. As we said before, its value is even above the value of the air that we breathe. We can't live 5 minutes without it. But the truth is more valuable than that. So once we've evaluated our need for it, we do need it. And we've evaluated the cost of it. Now, it's expensive. The most expensive thing you could ever buy. But when we compare that cost with the value, it's a bargain each and every day. It's never going to be marked down. We're never going to be able to get it any cheaper than for everything that we have. The wonderful thing about that is, regardless of how much you have, whether you have 10 cents or $10 million, the cost is the same, everything you have. I guess the person who only has 10 cents might think that's a better bargain than the one who has $10 billion. But it's not. It's just as good a bargain for the $10 billion as it would be for $1 or 10 cents. If you're here today and you haven't lost the truth, you can do that. If you'd be willing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he came and lived and died and rose again. Luke 5:1, the people at that time pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. They wanted to hear it so bad, they were pressing up against him. But just hearing is not enough. Many have heard. But we must believe. Jesus says in Luke 8:12 that those who were by the wayside in his parable of the sower were those who heard the word, but the devil came and took the word out of their hearts before they could believe in these things. We've got to believe. Don't let the devil steal the word before you. And then we've got to be willing to repent. Luke 10:13-14, Jesus condemns Chorazin and Bethsaida. He says, if the mighty work had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented. But you didn't repent. He said, it would be more tolerable for those people in the day of judgment because of that. Some of the mighty works. We read about the things Jesus did, we won't repent. We better repent. We've got to confess. Acts 19:18, many that believed came and confessed, and it showed their deeds, they showed their repentance and action. Acts 2:41 says, they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. We've got to be baptized in order for the Lord to add us. And we've got to live faithfully. Revelation 2:16 says, repent, or else I will come also unto thee quickly and fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Once we start, we can't turn back. We've got to keep going. If we turn back, if we've fallen away, we need to repent. We need to get back on the path. He says, if you don't, I'm going to come fight against you. You don't want the Lord fighting against you. Fight the devil is one thing. Fight the Lord is a battle you can't win. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you need to buy the truth. Maybe you sold it, you need to get it back. Maybe you just need strength and encouragement to hang on to the truth that you've got. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation, perhaps you do so if you can.